This is an audiobook presentation of Public Enemy Zero by Andrew Main. Public Enemy Zero is available for only $1 at the Amazon Kindle store or via the Kindle app on all major tablets and smartphones, including iPads, iPhones, Blackberries, Windows 7, and Android. It's also available on the Barnes & Noble Nook store and Apple's iBooks. Or you can get a complete, uninterrupted copy of this audiobook at andrewmain.com/books. Chapter 9. With hate in her bloodshot eyes, the mother ran past her baby, knocking the table and sending the high chair on its side. The baby screamed, then tried to claw at the tiles to pull itself toward Mitchell. She was just a few yards away. Mitchell looked at the chair in front of him. He gave it a swift kick, sending it skidding across the floor and into the woman. She ran right into it. Momentum knocked her legs from underneath her, and she went sprawling to the ground face first. Mitchell could hear the sound of people knocking chairs and tables over to get to him. He leapt to his feet and spotted three people getting close to his left. The nearest was a teenage boy in a Burger King uniform. Without looking, Mitchell grabbed the chair he had been sitting in and flung it at the young man. He hurled it at his face. The young man held out his hands to swat it away. The chair bounced off his shoulder and hit a snarling teenage girl on the bridge of her nose. On Mitchell's right, a crowd of a dozen people had abandoned their places in front of him in the Panda Express and were only two tables away. He looked down over his shoulder at the narrow exit from the food court to the main atrium. Rows of tables and chairs lined up the center. An old man and three blue-haired women had abandoned their bagels and coffee and were running toward Mitchell. He looked back at the rest of the food court and decided his best chance was to go through the old people. He ran into the old man as he tried to block Mitchell. Withered hands covered in liver spots reached out and tried to pull at him. The old man let out a yell and gnashed at Mitchell with a mouthful of dentures. Mitchell pushed the man in the chest, sending him backwards into the woman. Desperate to gain some time, Mitchell started scattering the chairs and flipping the tables into the crowd as they surged into the narrow passage. Mitchell ran into the atrium and ducked as a woman pushing a stroller ran towards him. Three women came out of the Lord and Taylor at the other end of the atrium to see what the commotion was. Their faces changed. They started screaming. Three sets of manicured hands reached out to claw at Mitchell as he got closer. Mitchell's feet skid across the floor as he came to a stop when he realized that exit was going to be blocked. The crowd from the food court was starting to make it through the overturned tables, and chairs spilled into the atrium. The atrium closed up into two different wings. Mitchell ran toward the closest woman. A woman selling scented candles at a kiosk came at Mitchell. He jumped out of the way and hit a closed display in Banana Republic. Two sales girls came screaming at him from inside. Mitchell regained his balance and ran down the mall. He felt a hand touch his backpack as someone got close. Up ahead, he could see a shoe store with shoe racks in front. As he passed it, he pulled on the racks, toppling them to the ground. He looked back over his shoulder and saw the two Banana Republic girls fall over it. Behind them was a surge of people from the food court. First few dozen people tripped over the girls and the racks and fell to the floor on top of them. The mob in back just pushed their way or trampled them underfoot. It was a horrific pileup of people as waves kept coming through. Those that fell were just treated like an obstacle by those behind them. There was an exit coming up ahead of Mitchell that led to a service corridor. If he could make it there, the narrow hallway should slow the crowd down. He prepared to make a quick turn into the alcove and through the doors. He was 30 feet away from the alcove when two mall cops came running out. One of them was talking into a radio. He locked eyes on Mitchell and then held the radio overhead like a club. The other mall cop followed suit, and the two of them ran to intercept him. Mitchell dodged to his left and ran around the toy kiosk. He elbowed the middle-aged woman as she got out of her chair to attack him. She fell back into the chair and continued going head over heels. He moved through a rest area and jumped over a couch to the other side of the mall. One of the mall cops tripped on the toy kiosk woman and tumbled. The other was still right behind Mitchell. Salespeople and customers had begun to step into the center of the mall as the commotion got louder and the crowd's howling screams grew closer. Two young men and a girl walked out of a Hollister, looked at Mitchell, and charged in his direction. They formed a wall as they closed in on him. Looking for the weakest link, Mitchell ran straight into the girl and pushed her in the chest. Pink-colored nails tried to scratch out his eyes as they fell backwards. He kept moving. From behind, he heard two thuds as the young men ran head into her, into the crowd. Their bodies fell on the floor. Mitchell could hear a sickening crack as a leg or an arm was broken. Directly in front of him was a large department store. The front looked clear of people. Maybe he could make it in there and lose some of the crowd in the clothes racks. He pumped his arms and kept pushing himself to keep going. Occasionally, he'd feel a hand grab at his backpack. Then fear would kick in as he would find a little more speed. He was dying to turn around and see how big the crowd was and how close, but he didn't dare lose a single millisecond of the advantage. The sound of pounding footsteps, kiosks being toppled, and wailing as people screamed at him told him enough to keep running. The only thing helping him was the fact that due to the law of averages, the people who could run faster than him were somewhere back in the mass of people. If they were able to break free, God help him, all it would take would be for someone to grab his ankle or just loop one arm through his damn backpack, and he would trip and fall onto the ground. The last thing he would ever see would be a tidal wave of people falling on top of him, tearing him to shreds with their hands and teeth. Thank God he jogged. Thank God he'd lost that 30 pounds last year. Mitchell knew he would have been fucked if he hadn't been in reasonably okay shape. He'd be dead. The entrance to the store was deserted. He ran through it and tried to pull a rack of coats as he moved by. Only one fell to the floor. In front of him was a perfume counter. A woman behind it with too much plastic surgery and makeup looked up at Mitchell, then leaped on the counter like a cat. The glass countertop broke as the woman jumped into the air and tried to claw at his throat. He was already moving to the right to go around the perfume counter. She overshot and fell into a display of men's cologne, sending hundreds of boxes into an avalanche on the floor. Mitchell looked to his left and spotted an escalator. He skidded around the corner and ran up to it. It was going down. Fuck! Wait, this was good, he realized. Mitchell knew the secret to going the wrong way was to run up in large steps and not to stop. It took him a half dozen strides and he was at the top. He turned around for the first time since he left the food court. Holy shit! He shouted as he saw the mob. It wasn't a few dozen people. It was hundreds of people, all trying to surge onto the escalator. Two or three would try to step on it, and then get tripped up by the people in back of them. These people would then try to step over the people in front of them. Other people were trying to climb over the side rails. Fingers and hair got caught between the collapsing metal stairs, trapping them. Mitchell watched in horror as a man in thick glasses pulled away a stump of a hand and tried to use it to climb over another person whose face was shoved between the railing and the escalator. As much of a clusterfuck of human carnage as it was, the sheer body count of people was adding up, and they were making progress. Mitchell pulled a display rack of glassware in front of the escalator and shoved it down into the crowd. He watched wine glasses and brandy snifters rain down on people before the shelving collapsed in the middle of the escalator. That was when he realized that the up escalator across from him was going to be bringing a deluge of people as soon as they worked their way around. He could see people running around the bottom of the up escalator to join the mob. He had seconds to do something. From behind, he felt a hand reach out at his throat, start to strangle him. Mitchell jerked his head back and bashed into his assailant's nose. He turned to see a saleswoman topple into a rack of wallets. Mitchell recognized her. She'd once helped him pick out a suitcase for a trip he'd never end up going on with Rachel. The woman had been exceedingly polite. All of that was gone as she made it to her feet and ran at Mitchell. He sent a knee to her face, but tried to soften the blow out of guilt. He fell on the ground again. Mitchell used this opportunity to push another display over. This one he dropped on the entrance to the up escalator to create a temporary roadblock. People were halfway up the down escalator. Mitchell looked around the upper level for an exit. He remembered the woman going into a storeroom near the bedding department. Mitchell headed in that direction. He could get into the storage room, maybe he could block the door. If it led to a service corridor, he could hopefully find a fire exit and get out of the building. From there, he had no idea what he would do. For the moment, he forced himself to disconnect his actions from anything bad that was happening to the people chasing him. In his mind, the building was on fire, and he had to get out. He ran around the shaft and past the exit for the up escalator. Out of the corner of his eye, he spotted a mass of people making their way through the tables and suitcases he'd dropped in front of it. Ahead of him, two athletic men came running from the bedding section. Mitchell reached out and grabbed a large metal pot and threw it at the closest one. It hit him in the face. It opened up a gash above his eye. The man didn't even flinch. He tried to avoid them by running left, but they cornered him in front of the display table. Rather than go around it, they just climbed onto it. One of them was on all fours, reaching out to claw Mitchell. The other landed on his feet and was ready to jump on Mitchell. He knew he couldn't handle the both of them in close quarters. The table wobbled as the two men climbed over it, unbalanced it slightly. Mitchell grabbed the edge closest to him and lifted as hard as he could. The table flipped over and the two men fell off. One was trapped under it, while the other fell backwards and smashed the back of his head against another display. He fell to the ground like a rag doll. There was a snarl to Mitchell's left as the luggage lady came at him. He jumped onto the overturned table and ran into the mattress section. He tried running over the top of the beds, but lost too much speed as the mattresses absorbed his footsteps. He spotted the entrance to the storage area and ran to it. The luggage lady tripped, fell behind him as one of her heels broke. In back of her, the mob had finally made it to the top of the escalator. Mitchell could see splatters of blood on the bodies of the people in the lead. He felt like he was going to throw up. Somewhere, a buzzer was going off because the escalator was jammed. Mitchell tried not to think of what was jamming it as he bolted through the doors leading to the service corridor. Chapter 10. The doors pushed inward. Mitchell scanned the hallway for something to put in front of the doors to hold back the crowd. There was nothing. Damn! To his left, there was a break room. Further down was a door, and then a hallway went in two directions. One of them had to lead to a stairwell and out of the building and away from the mob. He ran to the end of the hallway and spotted a fire hose in a glass case. Desperate to try anything, he pulled the door off and pulled the hose free. A label on the hose warned the user to have at least two people hold it due to the high pressure. Perfect. He threw the head of the hose down the hallway, pointed toward the doors, and just ran through. Mitchell spun the wall valve until it came off the screw. The slack hose began to fill up with water and was flooded with pressure. He watched the bulk race toward the nozzle and then come gushing out. Once all the slack was free and the water burst forth, throwing the nozzle around the hallway like an angry tentacle. Water flew everywhere, creating chaos in the hallway. Mitchell knew people could make it through, but the water, the hose, and the metal nozzle chaotically bouncing around would slow some people down and cause yet another bottleneck. He felt sick to his stomach when he realized that the real bottleneck was going to be dozens of people falling down and getting trampled by the people behind them. Mitchell wanted to reach out a hand and help the people he saw fall. Bloodshot eyes looking back at him with rage made him recoil. There was nothing he could do. It was right. He saw what looked like the opening to a stairwell. He ran in that direction. He kicked open the door and saw a flight of stairs leading downwards. He was halfway through the doors when he heard footsteps running up the stairs below. Lots of footsteps. Fuck! Mitchell ran back through the doorway and down the corridor. He had to jump to avoid tripping on the fire hose. Water was cascading around the floor and making it slippery. At the other end of the corridor, he spotted two double doors. Shoved them open with his shoulder. This was the storeroom. He looked around for another exit, but there was not one. Could he barricade himself in there long enough for help to arrive? What would happen when help did find him if he could make it that long? It was no good. He looked for a place to hide when the crowd came. There were shelves of boxes and luggage wrapped in plastic. There was no place for a grown man to hide. He heard outer doors crashing open. The crowd had made it upstairs and were headed down the hallway. Across the doorway, he spotted an axe. He could use that to defend himself. But then what? There was no way he was going to intentionally crack open the skull of the luggage lady or anyone else. What about using it to threaten people? He went to pull it from the wall, knowing that this angry mob wouldn't be threatened for very long, if at all. He yanked it free. As he pulled back, something caught the corner of his eye. He ignored it when he was looking for the stairs to go down. It was a ladder leading up to the roof. Mitchell tossed the axe to the ground, hoping at worst nobody would pick it up. At best, that it would cause yet another bottleneck when people fought over it. Mitchell pulled himself up the ladder and pulled the latch that opened the hatch above. Daylight shot down like light into a tomb. He crawled out onto the gravel surface and quickly got up. He tried shutting the door, but it wouldn't budge. From below, he could hear the echo of dozens of feet in the corridor. He tried closing it again. It wouldn't move. Why wouldn't it close? Of course, he realized as he spotted the safety catch. That was there to prevent people from getting trapped up there. He popped the latch with his palm and shut the hatch. He hoped no one saw him go up. He figured that he had a moment before they made it to that part of the corridor. At best, he could hope for another human traffic jam in the narrow hallway. Mitchell wished there'd been a better option than causing more harm. Through the metal hatch, he could hear the sound of dozens of people flooding into the back room. He could hear screaming. It felt like the roof itself was vibrating. What would happen when they all came pushing into the storage room? Would they just keep pushing and shoving and try to get through? Mitchell had heard horror stories of people trapped in fires and stadium riots. Below him was the largest riot he had ever seen, and he was at the center of it. For fuck's sake, why? The animal part of his brain told him that now was not the time to try and find answers. He still wasn't safe. Hundreds of angry people could erupt from the hatch at any second. All they had to do was realize where he'd gone, pull the lever to the hatch, and even in a crowd full of people driven by rage, one or two would be able to figure out where he went. He looked around the roof for anything to put on top of the hatch. There was nothing but cigarette butts and a few rolls of tar paper. He looked at the latch for any place where he could be locked in from the outside. There was nothing. Not wanting to lose any more time, Mitchell decided to just run toward the other end of the mall. He would make as much distance as he could between himself and the hatch, then try to find a way down. He looked out over the parking lot. He expected to see hundreds of police cars and fire trucks by now. There was nothing. He couldn't understand why. Hadn't anyone called the cops? Didn't anyone pull a panic alarm? Wouldn't the fire hose have sent a signal to the fire department? What was wrong with the world? None of it made sense to Mitchell, and he'd realized he'd left his table at the food court less than 3 minutes ago. Fuck. Just 3 minutes? Chapter 11. Mitchell reached the skylight that hung over the atrium. He wanted to look over it, but was afraid someone would look up. He looked back to where he'd come from. The hatch was still closed. The sound of thumping came from under it. He decided to chance it. He squatted low and walked toward the skylight, trying to keep his body close to the roof. Through the glass, he could see the overturned kiosk near the entrance to Lord and Taylor's. The ground was littered with scattered shopping bags, candles, and several shoes. Off to one side, he spotted an overturned stroller, Mitchell's cheek flushed with guilt. He could make out tiny fists pumping at the air. Off to the other side, he saw the body of an older man slumped over a broken planter. Mitchell was afraid to look anymore. He decided his best chance was to keep going all the way to the other end of the shopping mall and look for an exit there. In the distance, he could hear sounds of sirens. Couldn't tell if it was the police, fire, or paramedics. The safe money was on all three. As he ran across the graveled roof, his feet made loud, crunching sounds. He panicked for a moment at the thought of attracting more attention from anybody below. It was pointless to worry about that now, he realized. He had to keep on moving. He tried to keep to the center of the roof to avoid being spotted by anyone in the parking lot. Another advantage, he realized, of running to the other side of the roof was that the first responders were much more likely to go to the opposite side of the mall. What would happen when armed cops and firemen with axes came into the mall? He may have been able to outmaneuver two off-guard mall cops and a middle-aged meter maid. But what about people with guns? Was everyone affected? He'd have to put that together later. For now, he needed to avoid any human contact. Mitchell reached the end of the mall where the other big anchor department store was located. It was a Sears, he thought. The parking lot below looked a quarter full at that end. He saw one or two cars pulling into spaces. Everything looked normal. Sooner or later, someone would make it to the roof. Maybe the cops arriving would be a good thing. Maybe it would be the worst thing. Mitchell wasn't ready to find out. He jogged along the perimeter, exposing himself to anyone who bothered to look up. It was a chance he had to take to find a way to get down. At one end, he spotted a cluster of tall trees a few feet away from the building. Did he try to jump into them and climb his way down? When he got closer, he realized they were farther out from the building than he'd thought. It was looking like a bad idea. There was no way to do it and not get hurt. He heard a bottle clink off to his right. It sounded like it was coming from below. He walked over to the edge and peered down. There was a service dock underneath. A door shut as someone walked inside. He could smell lingering cigarette smoke. Someone had just finished their break. Right below him was a ladder. It had a sliding section locked in the upright position. He could climb down to the lowest rung and then drop the rest of the way down to safety. Probably. He looked around for other options. There was a large open garbage crusher. He could try diving into that. He looked at the high, slimy walls and decided not to. A metal-hitting gravel sound made him jerk his head back toward the part of the mall he had just ran from. Someone just knocked the hatch clean off. People were starting to climb onto the roof and sprint toward him. They were covered in red. Fuck. Mitchell grabbed the top of the ladder and climbed onto it. He scurried down the rusty rungs. When his feet touched air, he climbed down like monkey bars. The ground was further away than he hoped. Couldn't have been more than 5 feet, but his mind told him it was 50. Legs already bent to prevent from breaking them, he let go and hit the ground. He let his body keep moving and came to a stop at a full squat. Nothing felt broken or sprained. He stood up and looked around the corner. There was nobody on foot. That was a good sign, he thought. In the distance, he heard the sirens getting closer. Behind him, he heard the rumble of hundreds of feet running across gravel. He could hear screaming growing closer. Out in the parking lot, he saw a blue sedan looking for a parking spot close to the mall. Mitchell wanted to get as far away from there as possible, preferably on foot. Maybe he could flag them down. He ran into the parking lot to wave his hands in the air. He headed toward the car. The driver, an elderly woman, put on the brakes. Mitchell ran into the driver's side window. She rolled it down. Mitchell started to speak. The woman let out a scream. At first, he thought it was him. She was looking past him. Hundreds of people were on the roof, looking down at him. Some of them were falling as others tried to push themselves to the front. Oh, God, thought Mitchell. The sound of bodies hitting the pavement echoed from the loading dock. The woman let out another scream. Mitchell felt something claw at his arm. The little old red-headed woman was trying to climb out of her window to get at him, but her seatbelt was holding her in. The car moved forward slowly as she took her foot off the brake. He needed her car. Mitchell reached down and opened the door. She tried to bite him, but ended up hitting her chin on the metal door as he yanked it open. She was stunned for a moment. Keeping pace with the rolling car, he reached over and undid her seatbelt. She tried to bite him again, but her head hit the horn instead. Her small hands tried to claw at his arm. As gentle as she could, he pushed the tiny woman from the car. He tried not to look behind him as he heard the horrible sound of bodies hitting the pavement. When he had the woman clear of the car, he ran back to the rolling car window before it crashed into a parked pickup truck. He forced himself into the small space between the seat and the wheel, shut the door and hit the lock as his foot hit the brake. The small woman ran to the window and pounded her fist against the glass. One of the rings clinked like a dagger on ice every time it hit. Mitchell found the button to make the seat move back so his chest and knees could clear the steering wheel. He stepped on the accelerator before the woman could break the window. The car was still pointed toward the mall. As he turned around a row of cars, he saw another body fall off the roof. He headed out of the parking lot and avoided every impulse to look in the rearview mirror. In front of him, he saw a fire truck race around the perimeter of the mall toward the first department store. Several police cars were behind it. Every impulse wanted to step on the accelerator and speed away as fast as possible. The sirens and flashing lights told him otherwise. He needed to not look like he was fleeing the scene of a crime. He fastened his seatbelt and tried to focus on what he needed, and not the fact that along with everything else that had happened that day, he'd just committed a carjacking. This is an audiobook presentation of Public Enemy Zero by Andrew Main. Public Enemy Zero is available for only $1 at the Amazon Kindle store or via the Kindle app on all major tablets and smartphones, including iPads, iPhones, Blackberries, Windows 7, and Android. It's also available on the Barnes & Noble Nook store and Apple's iBooks. Or you can get a complete, uninterrupted copy of this audiobook at andrewmain.com/books.